Okay, if you'll take your Bible and turn with me now at this time, we're in Hebrews chapter 11, and this morning we'll be in verses 35 to 38. Our message series is called Growing in Faith. You know, for most of this series, we've been looking at the various ways that you demonstrate your faith, right? How do you demonstrate your faith in action? But last week, and now again this week, we're looking at a different but related theme. Because in these verses, the focus is not so much on what you do when you exercise faith. Rather, the focus is on what faith does. What does faith accomplish? What does faith do when you're exercising true biblical faith in your life? And so we began to look at that last week. What does faith do or accomplish? As we said last week, faith conquers. Faith overcomes. Faith prevails. Faith triumphs. That's what faith does. Faith triumphs. Faith is the key to victory in life. As we said last week, with faith, you can never lose. Without faith, you can never win. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." And so it is your faith that overcomes the world. So last week, we looked at how faith makes you triumphant in victory, but we said that's only part of the story. And so this week, we now want to see also, how does faith make you triumphant in suffering? And that's our theme in these verses this morning, Hebrews 11, 35 to 38. So please stand with me now as we look at these verses together. Hebrews 11, verses 35 through 38. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at these precious verses this morning and the suffering of your saints, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us in our lives and in the hardships that we're going through as well. And Lord, help us to always put our faith in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, we all love victory, right? We all love victory. For example, when it comes to sports, I always enjoy playing, okay? I always enjoy playing. Whether I win or lose, I always enjoy playing. But I never enjoy losing. And I always enjoy winning, right? I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. And as you exercise your faith in Christ, you are going to know many exciting, thrilling victories as God acts on your behalf. But what about those times when the victory is just not there? What about those times when you believe God for something and it doesn't happen? What do you do then? Why do some people pray for healing and get healed, while others pray for healing and don't get healed? Why does God rescue some people from danger, while others suffer calamity? Now, those are not easy questions. Some people try to provide an easy answer. They chalk it all up to either faith or lack of faith. And so they attribute anything good that happens in your life to faith, right? And anything bad that happens in your life to lack of faith. And we sometimes call this prosperity theology. Prosperity theology teaches that God wants all of us to always be healthy and wealthy all the time. Teaches that any sickness or financial difficulty, that's always due to a lack of faith. That's what prosperity theology teaches. But you know what? That does not square with Scripture. And it certainly doesn't square with the Scripture that we're looking at this morning, the one right in front of us. Because yes, Hebrews chapter 11 does list all these people who through faith were triumphant in victory, right? We looked at them all last week. But when you get to verse 35, you might notice in the same verse, in the same breath, without any qualifying statements, verse 35 goes right on to talk about those who through faith were triumphant in suffering as well. Both groups of people, they're listed as heroes of the faith. And yet one group experienced victory, while the other group experienced suffering. And the truth of the matter is that Scripture teaches us that there are two ways to be triumphant through faith. One way is by obtaining victory through faith in God. We like that one, right? The other way is to persevere in suffering through faith in God. That one we have a little harder time with. But the same faith that makes you triumphant in victory also makes you triumphant in suffering. And so verses 35 through 38 now finish off this section by giving us three additional sets of examples of faith, all three which emphasize being triumphant through suffering. There is an outline in your worship guide this morning. If you'd like to take that out and follow along, you'll see the outline from last week's message there, triumphant in victory. And then the second half is what we're looking at today, triumphant in suffering. If you have the YouVersion app on your phone or tablet, we also have the outline and scriptures there for you as well if you go to the events tab in YouVersion. But the three things we're going to be looking at today is that faith overcomes physical persecution, faith overcomes execution and death, faith overcomes hardships of all kinds. So let's take a look at the first set of examples. Faith overcomes physical persecution. Faith overcomes physical persecution. Look at verse 35 with me now. Verse 35 begins this way. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. We looked at that one last week as, you know, faith being triumphant in victory. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. But then the same verse continues, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Do you see what's going on in that verse? Some received back their dead, raised to life again. Victory! Others were tortured and refused to be released. Suffering. One group was triumphant in victory through faith. The other group was triumphant in suffering through faith. And the word tortured here in verse 35, it comes from the Greek word tympanon, which means a drum. We get our word timpani, which is a type of drum, from that. You might wonder, well, how are those related? Well, a common form of torture in those days was to be stretched, you know, tied on a rack. You've heard about the rack, right? You know, like the skin, tight like the skin on a drum. That's how we get this word for torture. Verse 35 says that some were tortured and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. That's an interesting phrase. You might wonder, what does that mean to gain a better resurrection? Some people interpret it as, you know, maybe it means receiving a better reward when you're resurrected to eternal life. Others think maybe it refers to the resurrection of the righteous as compared to the resurrection of the unrighteous. That would certainly be a better resurrection. But I think the best explanation is when you compare it to the resurrection that was already stated in the same verse, right? At the beginning of verse 35, where it said, some women received back their dead, raised to life again. That's a resurrection, right? What type of resurrection was that? That was a resurrection back to this life with all of its sorrows and pains, and it was not permanent. Each of those brought back to life in that way, that type of resurrection, they would die again. So what would the better resurrection be? It would be the resurrection to eternal life, a resurrection which is permanent, a resurrection which frees us from all pain and suffering forever. It also says they refuse to be released. It's a phrase which literally means not having accepted the redemption, okay? In other words, it's a phrase which implies freedom. They were offered freedom by payment of a ransom. They were offered freedom for a price. Do you know what that price was? It wasn't money. No, that price included denying God and his word. And so they refused. And these verses may be referring to the Maccabean Jews in the 2nd century B.C., the 2nd century before Christ. Because we have a historical book. It's called 2nd Maccabees. And it describes, I won't go into it, okay, because it describes in real gory detail, 7 Jewish brothers who underwent a very gruesome torture and death rather than break the law of God. If they had been willing to break God's law, they would have been released. They were given opportunity for release, like it says here, but they refused in hope of the resurrection to eternal life. The point is this: only faith will ultimately help you to persevere through the suffering of physical persecution. What is faith? We've referred to this definition time and again throughout our series. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And you know what? When you're going through physical persecution or even torture, you know, you cannot see the better resurrection, right? But you are sure of what you hope for, and that is what gives you the strength to go on. There are many Christians around the world today who suffer physical persecution. And you cannot possibly say that their suffering is due to a lack of faith. You can't do that. You know why? Because the whole reason they are suffering is why? It's because of their faith. It's because of their faith that they're suffering to begin with. And the whole reason they are able to persevere is also because of their faith. Through faith, they know that there is more to life than just this life. They look forward to a better resurrection. And then verse 36 goes on and gives us 4 additional examples of physical persecution. Verse 36 says this: some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. So we have jeers, flogging, chains, prison. You know, the Greek word for jeers here in verse 36 can mean simply mocking. That's how we think of jeers. But it can also refer to very brutal treatment. You remember those 7 Jewish brothers? The same word is used in 2 Maccabees to describe the treatment of the 2nd brother, who I won't even go into it, but it was very brutal treatment. And so these 4 words in verse 36, you take them together, they refer to all sorts of harsh treatment. Now, examples of Old Testament believers, once again, we're looking at Old Testament believers and their examples of faith, examples of Old Testament believers who experienced a physical persecution include the prophet Micaiah in the Old Testament. Micaiah was slapped in the face. He was jeered. He was insulted. He was sent to prison simply for telling the truth. The prophet Jeremiah was also beaten, and he was put in prison. In the New Testament, Paul and the apostles suffered these same forms of mistreatment. You know, even the recipients of this letter to the Hebrews, they were no strangers to persecution. Listen to these words from the chapter before, from Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer says this to them. He says, "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your own property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions." I was thinking about, what if Hebrews chapter 11 had not included these examples of suffering in faith? What if he just had given all the examples of victory, right? None of the examples of suffering. The readers to this letter who were suffering for their faith, they may have wrongly concluded, well, I guess that means I don't have faith. I guess I don't have faith. Only victory means you've got faith. But he included this to encourage them and to remind us that faith happens in suffering as well. So that's our first point. Faith overcomes physical persecution. Secondly, faith overcomes execution and death. We're in verse 37 now. The first part of the verse says this: they were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. I don't like the sound of any of those, okay? I think most of us want to go peacefully in our sleep, right? But these were very violent forms of death. They were not simply dying, they were being executed. Stoning, this was a very common Jewish form of execution. The Bible tells us that Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, he was stoned to death. According to Jewish tradition, the prophet Jeremiah himself was also killed by stoning when he lived in Egypt. Jesus in the New Testament implied that the stoning of God's prophets was a common offense in Israel. Jesus cried out in the Gospel of Matthew, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you." So we have stoning, and then we have being sawed in two. Now, I got to tell you, that was a very, very unusual way to be killed. In fact, you don't find any examples in the Bible of this method of execution. It's only mentioned here in Hebrews 11. However, according to both Jewish tradition and also early Christian sources, the prophet Isaiah did die this way. That the prophet Isaiah was cut in half with a wooden saw during the reign of King Manasseh. And so maybe referring to the prophet Isaiah here. And then he speaks of those who were put to death by the sword, once again executed. And we do find those examples. King Jehoiakim killed the prophet Uriah with the sword during the days of Jeremiah. In the New Testament, we think of John the Baptist who was beheaded. Now, last week we looked at verse 34. Very interesting here. Verse 34 spoke of those who escaped the sword through faith, right? Do you remember that? Escaped the sword through faith. And we looked at some examples. Elijah escaped the sword through faith. There was a remnant of other prophets with him who escaped the sword through faith. But you know what? A lot of the prophets, they did not escape. They were put to death by the sword. Did they have any less faith than Elijah or the other prophets? No. But you see, God had a different purpose for them. Through faith, we may be triumphant either in victory or in suffering. Once again, just like physical persecution, martyrdom for the Christian faith continues today around the world. We sometimes think it's just a relic of ancient history. No, this is current events, folks. This is a current reality. Did you know that more Christians died for their faith in the 20th century? More Christians died for their faith in the 20th century than the previous 19 centuries combined. You add up everybody in the first 1900 years of the church, not as many as all of those who died for their faith in the 20th century. And it continues even in the 21st century. Every single day, Christians around the world lose their lives because of their faith in Christ. And we who are blessed with freedom here in the United States, we need to pray for them and pray for their families. We need to remember them in prayer. So we've seen that faith overcomes physical persecution, that's suffering. Faith overcomes execution and death, that's suffering. And then finally, number three just captures it all. Faith overcomes hardships of all kinds. Look at the rest of verse 37 with me now and into the first part of verse 38. It says, they went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. What are these verses describing? It's describing the hardships that many believers experience because of their faith. The sheepskins and goatskins, that refers to just very rough and simple clothing, nothing fancy, nothing elaborate. You know, this was the typical clothing of a prophet in those days. Zechariah 13:4 speaks about a prophet's garment of hair. You might remember John the Baptist wore clothing made out of camel's hair. And then verse 37 goes on, describes them as destitute, poverty-stricken, having little to no earthly resources. They're also described there as persecuted and mistreated, which tells us something very important. They did nothing wrong to deserve this treatment. It's not like they were being punished for doing something wrong. No, these were heroes of the faith who were being ill-treated for doing right. And verse 38, I love this, says the world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of them. That word translated worthy here, it's a word that means having the same weight of something of like value. In other words, weighing the same in the scales. You see, the world considered them worthless. The world considered them of little or no value. But here's the truth. The world was not worthy of them. And when weighed in the scales of God's pleasure, these precious heroes who suffered for their faith, they outweighed the whole world. God is looking for people of faith who will dare to be triumphant in suffering. You know, there's no shortage of volunteers when it comes signing up for the victory part of faith. We're all in that line, right? But the real test comes when you encounter suffering. Verse 38 finishes, they wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. And this part of the verse refers to various forms of homelessness. Once again, some biblical examples include David, who had to hide from Saul in caves, or Obadiah, who hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in caves, Elijah, who hid from Ahab in the desert, John the Baptist, who made his home in the wilderness. Even our own Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, experienced homelessness. He said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And once again, poverty and homelessness, this is another problem of persecution that Christians around the world face today. Many Christians in other lands lose their jobs, they lose their income or possessions, they lose their homes because of their faith. Many are removed or displaced not only from their homes, but perhaps from their entire villages because of their Christian faith. Once again, they're not suffering because of a lack of faith, right? They're suffering because they refuse to let go of their faith in Christ. And you know what? The world is not worthy of them. And so I hope you've captured the main thrust of last week's message and today's message together. That true biblical faith is triumphant both in victory and in suffering. We have the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of being triumphant in suffering. Jesus, who went to the cross and suffered and died for our sins and rose victorious over sin and death forever, so that you and I could be forgiven, so that you and I could be saved. True biblical faith is triumphant both in victory and in suffering. Now, here's the thing. We don't get to choose in which of these two ways we will experience being triumphant through faith. It's not up to us. That's up to God. And so we need to have the same attitude that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we looked at them last week, the same attitude they displayed when they were threatened with the fiery furnace. Here's what they said. They boldly answered the king. They said, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." What did they do? They left it up to God. And they were determined to be triumphant through faith either way. Whether God let them experience victory over the flames or suffering in the flames. Faith is triumphant both in victory and in suffering. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these wonderful examples of faith from the Old Testament and from the New Testament as well. And then, Lord, as we consider our brothers and sisters around the world who are also suffering in these ways, Lord, help us not to give in to the lie that anytime we're suffering, it means that we are lacking in faith. But Lord, help us to hold on to our precious faith in you. Lord, even if it means physical persecution. Lord, even if it means execution and death. Lord, throughout all of the hardships in life, you are God. You love us. You are with us. You are fulfilling your plan for our lives. And we may be triumphant through faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.